Women Shir Chavis Halvavos, Wednesday afternoon, Shara Bitachon, Chaf Ches Shvat. Okay, Chavis Halvavos, Shara Bitachon, Perek Dalet. We're still in the middle of the second of the seven items that he's teaching us how to apply Bitachon. The first thing is an attitude, well, the application of the attitude of Bitachon. Bitachon is just an attitude, really. An attitude, it's a mental act. It's a mental action, really, of relying on Hashem. So the first item in the list was in what's your basic sustenance. The second item was acquiring wealth, and we won't go over what he says. We're towards the end of it. And he says, "Umima sheroi." This is towards the end of the second item. The third item starts with probably a new paragraph. Avol perish in yoni achelik hashlishi. So probably around 20 to 30 lines before that, "Umima sheroi lebotecha lo halokim b'torfo." And the attitude of a boteach should have when it comes to mizonos, again, Chavis Halvavos always talks about parnasa. There's health issues and there's all sorts of issues. But, our gashmiyistic lives are mostly consumed with money and having enough money and paying for things and acquiring things, whether we need them or we think we need them or we want them to make our lives more comfortable, to make our lives more geshmak, to give it away to our children, to leave it over for Yerusha for our children, whatever, to give to tzedakah. The point is, money really consumes most of our gashmius lives. Halavai, we don't want it to be health. We want it to be money. So the boteach belokim, k'sheyisake mimenu haterif yomen hayomim, this is really includes number one as well. If things are tough, when he's not earning enough, he's not making ends meet, a month goes by, maybe 2 months go by, Shayoma Balibo, he doesn't panic. The point of a Botech Belokim is he doesn't panic. Maybe at some point he says, this is not working, maybe I should try a different Hishtadlus. Obviously there's either no market for what I'm trying to sell, or I'm not skilled enough, below the line of Hishtadlus. It's hard to know when you reach that point, because it's so easy to lose sight of Bitachon, which is Hashem ascending the Parnasa, no matter what I do. It's a mistake to go below the line of Hishtadlus. It's a mistake to go above the line of Hishtadlus. So, but there's no way to answer, again, it's not how much matzah. We say, okay, within 9 minutes you have to eat this much matzah. This is what we like. This is what, because it's a maila, but it's a chisorin as well. Like, we lose sight of kazayas, which is an olive, and a tefa. Like, we lose sight. We've digitalized everything. And even, some people, you wait 6 hours between meat and milk. So some people wait five and a half. I'm not a big fan of that, but some people do it. So one of their so-called proofs is, the Rambam says, kishay shells. The Rambam doesn't say shay shells. He says kishay shells. So I said, what do you want the Rambam to say? There were no clocks then. around 6 hours. When you figure it's 6 hours, the Rambam, he had no way, they had a way of measuring exactly 6 hours. So, you lived in a world with 6 hours, just like you lived in a world where kazayas is about a kazayas. How much is a tefach? How much is a tefach? This is a tefach. And so on and so forth. How much is a kibetza? A kibetza, that's a kibetza. But now we've just like we've become industrialized, and we've manutak from natural living, most of us. We're manutak from natural living. We buy things in a store, we don't grow them. we don't have our own, you know, we don't, everything is, most of us buy things. And so we're menutak also from, the Torah is really much more natural than we, it's not digitalized, you don't walk around with a measuring stick, with a tape measure, with a little scale that people pour the matzah mill into to see how much matzahs are kazayas. That's the way the Torah was given. But just as we become industrialized and we're menutak from the real source, and so in halacha also, the shiurim, so it seems like we're more from, because we could say Zman Kriyashma is 9:08 and 45 seconds, which has a mila. But on the other hand, so what did they used to do? They used to look out the window and they saw the sun coming up. They started Shmoneh Esrei. Anyway, so you don't panic. You don't panic. My point was that Bitachon is not like that. We can't digitalize it. I don't know if you should take out a half a page ad or a full page ad or a quarter page ad. If you run it once a week, if you run it in connections, if you should run it in the community bulletin, if you should run it in RBS views, if you should put flyers in the apartment buildings of every building. I don't know. I know how you could find out, but that's not for now. That's for a discussion one-on-one. We can discuss how you could make a good educated guess around where the line of Hishtadlus is. But the point is, no matter what, you don't panic, because you know that Hashem is in charge. See, if it's Kochi Votzim Yodi attitude, then you panic, what's happening? If it's Hashem in charge, so you don't panic. That's the Chavis Aldovus' point. If you don't earn enough money to live, you're going into deficit, then, well, in Israel, you for sure don't panic. Maybe the bank panics, but we don't panic. By us, it's a way of life. But his point is, but rather in the Chavis Aldovus' world, as we're seeing, self-sufficiency and earning enough money to live on, making ends meet, is very, very chashuv. Very chashuv. That's like, a person should be, because like that Hashem guarantees you will happen, because you have to live, and that's what Hashem sort of guarantees. Never any type of guarantee, of course, but that's what he said in the first item on the list of seven things. That basically Hashem is guaranteeing you, but you have to do the Hishtadlus, that's how Hashem is channeling it. But his point is here, you don't panic. Sheyoma Belibo, you need some chizuk, you say, Ki mi asher hotziani ala olam azeh, Hashem, I was born, Hashem created me. He's talking about getting born, he's not even talking about being conceived. Bizman Yadua at a specific time, Ve'es Yadua, if you happen to remember Shara Bitachon, this is a point he stressed in Perek Gimel, where he listed five premises that you have to be convinced of that are true in order to be Kona Midas Bitachon. And premise number one was the seven things of chapter two. And number seven in chapter three, which was number five in chapter two, was that everything is Gzeiras Hashem and happens the moment it's supposed to happen, and it doesn't happen before it's supposed to happen, and it doesn't happen after it's supposed to happen. And he even touched up, if you remember the pasuk in Koheleth, Lakol Zman, Ve'es L'chol Chefetz Tachas Hashemoyim, Ve'es L'Leders, Ve'es L'Mus, Ve'es L'Schok, Ve'es L'Fkos, Ve'es L'Chabek, Ve'es L'Chok Mechabek, Ve'es L'Hashlich Avonim, Ve'es Kol Zmanim. Chazal Kabbalah explained it as being from Hashem's perspective, not from the human perspective. There's a time and a place for everything. It's from Hashem. Hashem said, there's a time when this is going to happen, there's a time when that's going to happen, and they're very specific times, and it happens when it's supposed to happen. So that's what he's stressing here. So the Hashem that may be born, whatever it says on your birth certificate, and I believe that I was supposed to be born at that time. This is not a class to talk about inducing labor. But the poskim do weigh in on that for that reason. For that reason, they weigh in on inducing labor. They frown upon it unless the doctor says it's necessary medically. Not because he has to go on vacation or it's inconvenient for him. They frown on it if it's medically necessary, like it's poshut, do it. You have to trust your doctor if it's medically necessary. But anyway, there is a specific time. This is why they frown upon it, because you're really like making a bid. You're fighting Hashem. If you do it for convenience or even discomfort, but not medically necessary, maybe you don't probably trust a man to paskin on that. I don't blame you. Although I have to say, I once experienced, I think, close to your pain when I had those maggots put into my foot, and the doctors assured me it wouldn't hurt because they only eat dead skin. I wish upon all of you, all of my enemies, I wish upon things not hurting the way that hurt. It was like having kidney stones. It was like, you know, you doubled over in pain. And then I had the brains to take painkillers, which knocked me out for 2 weeks. But that's, okay, that was my year of tsar. Should be a kapara.
Is there also a reason not to induce, because if one neshama is brought in, another neshama is taken away?
Well, let's stick with this reason, because Hashem has a... Yeah, there's a specific time when it's supposed to happen. So anyway, his point is, you don't panic. You say, Hashem doesn't want me to have parnosa. You know, Hashem's going to give me parnosa. I'm having a bad month, a bad 2 months. So Hashem wants me to undergo this experience. What can I gain from this experience? I recognize it's from Hashem. That's bitachon. I'm relying on Hashem to send me parnosa. I'm realizing that He is the one that's deciding it. And hu shema akimi meni bo tirfi la'es yadua v'yom yadua. This is a slow month. For some reason, Hashem wants me to, you know, to suffer. Suffering, we'll call it suffering. It is suffering. To suffer this month. L'daitoi mashehu tovli. And I'm convinced it's good for me. That's why you're not stressed. This is part of bitachon. You go through all the seven things in Perek Beis. Hashem knows it's happening. Hashem cares about me. Hashem is making it happen. Hashem is not ignoring me. Hashem only wants what's best for me. Hashem will give me things even if I don't deserve it. There's no one else that can thwart Hashem's gezerah. Right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And then you're calm. See, his point is here is not to panic. If you're below the red line, v'chein ka'asher yiva'ohu tirfo mitzumtzum, if you're at the red line, lo yoser al mazono ma'uma, you're just eking out, you know, you can't save any money, but you're not losing money. So then what do you think? Roy lo laksha b'liba b'lomar, look, Hashem is providing for me. Hashem provided for me when I was a fetus, because it was the love that brings down. He didn't give me too much food then. I don't think they're born fat. I don't know. They're not really fat. And Hashem gives them the mazonos they need to survive. Asher heichenli mazoni b'shdeimi b'tchilas enyoni kefitzarchi. He gave me what I needed. V'dei kakolosa yom yom, which is an amazing nace. If you are aware of it or you read up on it, you know, what to expect when you're expecting. I think that's a famous book. No? Maybe. Yeah, and you read, it's like Mamash Nisim, and what happens at the moment of birth, really, one of the explanations of that is what was open closes, what the whole breathing changes, the whole feeding changes. It's Nisim, but we say Asher Yotso, you know. Adasher Hamer Osi Luba told me many. Hashem is, providing for me, and He's giving me exactly what I need. And He did it when I was a fetus, and then He switched to a different system of feeding me. I was on a good diet when I was a fetus. I had only what I needed. Hashem decided what I'm going to eat. No fetus overeats, right? And it didn't hurt me at all, right? I was born trim as a fiddle. Fit as a fiddle. Kelo yazikli bo haterif hazeh. So I'm not going to come to any harm. It's fine to have what I need. Thank you, Hashem. You're not angry. You're not bitter. You don't even have it's a different type of nervousness. When you're in deficit, you don't panic, he says. And when you're making ends meet, but you can't buy that article of clothing you had your heart set on, So you say, listen, Hashem is giving me exactly what I need, and I'm fine with that, and I'm not going to be harmed by it, and it's good. Asher hetik osi eila vata betzimtzum kvitzorki atachlis yomai ma'uma, even if it lasts for the rest of my life, I'm fine with it. It's a subtlety here. He makes it into two distinct thought processes. One is you don't panic when it's below, and one is you don't get upset and you're not sad and you're not resentful and you're not certainly not jealous of others. You think, you know, Hashem is giving me what I need. He took care of me then. He's taking care of me now. The year nisker al zeh, you'll get schar for that. This is an important thing. Bitachon is a mitzvah. Bitachon, according to Bnei Yonah, it's a mitzvah saseh. It's a mitzvah, and you'll get your schar for having the right attitude. Come on. Now, this is an amazing thing, he says. K'moshe omer habori al avosenu bamidbar, she'inyonam hoya kazeh, v'yotza omelokdu dvar yom b'yomo. We don't think of them on that way. I don't, you know, I never did till I went to Chavis HaLovas. Chavis HaLovas was looking at the Ochle Haman as having to put up with this Nisayon. They couldn't have more than what they needed. They got what they needed. And they couldn't get more. But they said, look, this is what Hashem is giving us. That's fine. They couldn't even leave over for the next day because this is for today. And well, that's a different nekuda, really. That's the nekuda to have bitachon that Hashem will provide for you tomorrow as well. But here, the Chavis HaLovas looks at it that they were on a... Hashem put them all on a strict diet. He's saying they didn't have more than they needed, and it's not an easy way to live. Right? It's not an easy way to live. You're exactly at that line. But that was one of the nisyonos in the Midbar. That's how he learns. For Omar Holoch v'Karos Bozna Yerushalayim Leimar, very, very, very famous pasuk. Lech teich acharei b'midbar beretz lo zeruah. It's not just a question of not having food, but even when they got food, they never had enough. They never had more than they mamish needed. Hashem, now if you're on an order perfect diet, you just figure out what asiras or eifa is, and that's what you need for a day, and that's it. It's a shir challah. Right, it's a sheer challah. L'chainim yivau tearful b'siba. Then he says, it's so interesting because he wants to cover all the bases. He says, let's say you're having parnasa, but you're not really happy about it. You went through the thought processes that he suggested how you pick a parnasa. Things didn't work out, and you know you try this, you try that, and you ended up doing something you don't enjoy doing. Because that happens many times with people. Again, if you don't, you know, at what point do you say, I'm going to have to go move back to America, which people sometimes say. At what point, first of all, if you think of it as back, you're already in trouble, right? If you think of it as back, it means really I belong there. I just came here, now I'm going to go back. That's like when Israel gives back land to the Arabs. Hashem, my children all are trying to say they're not giving land back, they're giving it away, not giving it back. People, it's not as, you know, we're learning, it's an attitude. Bitachon is something we have to work on, and there's no guarantees, and it's an attitude. And then you reach the point where you say, well, let me try something else. This ishtadlus is not working. Maybe it's not enough. Maybe I'm not cut out for this, even though I enjoy doing this. I mean, I know people in the shul. You know, they feel they're cut out to do a certain thing, but there's really no parnasa in it. Anyway, the Chavis HaLovas now is addressing someone that ends up working for a boss that's rather obnoxious, or for a boss that's, you know, obnoxious. That's good enough. Or they're doing something they don't really enjoy doing. But that's his parnasa, you know. That's his parnasa. V'cheinim yivou tirfol b'siba b'belief siba. By that he means something that he doesn't want. He doesn't enjoy it. Umoko m'beli moko. There are people that don't feel they could have parnasa only when they go to America once a month, once every 2 weeks. Chavis HaLovas, if you read just the words of the Chavis HaLovas, you know, he would frown upon that and consider it a lack of bitachon. It's not necessarily the case nowadays. This is time, like, to take a 100-mile trip was like something very dangerous and very unthinkable. Now, you know, we go back and forth, it's like nothing. And whatever the, again, Bitachon does not have chitzoniyistic rules, really. There are telltale signs, I always say, if you find yourself that it's creating a dysfunctionality in the family, or it's making you nervous, and it's making you that you can't fulfill certain obligations you have, then you know you're not having bitachon, because it can't be. It's extremely unlikely that the hishtadlus that Hashem demands that we do would involve something which renders me dysfunctional. So it means it's a sign. But there's no rules. Say, oh, if someone works in America, it means he's not a Baal Bitachon. If someone flies Dafka El Al, not a Baal Bitachon. It's not true. It's Chodesh Halavavos, and you have to look yourself in the mirror, you have to be introspective, and you have to say, do I really believe it's coming from Hashem? And your soul, your own heart, your own minds. I tell people, they ask me questions, is this a Chisaron Bitachon? I say, what? You can answer the question better than I can. If you feel comfortable that you are in realization of the seven things in Perek Beis, and Afal Pikein, you feel this is something you're compelled to do, then you're having bitachon. It's wonderful. Don't worry. There's no rules. It's not like I'm not allowed to do this on Shabbos. But I don't mean to be mechal Shabbos, but too bad. It's also there's no rules of bitachon. When I say if it creates dysfunctionality, I don't mean it as a rule. I mean it as a sinan. It's a sign that because hishtadlus is only because it's Ratzon Hashem. Hishtadlus is not that Hashem left me an area that I control. Hashem's always controlling 100%. But for reasons the Chavit HaLov has talked about, he wants us to do hishtadlus. It's not logical that the Ratzon Hashem is I should have to violate his will in order to do hishtadlus. It's just not mistaver. It doesn't knack. It's a contradiction. Hashem wouldn't want my, it's only because it's Ratzon Hashem. Hashem doesn't want my hishtadlus to be something that, again, creates dysfunctionality, puts me in a situation where I have to overlook certain things that should be usur, certain things that make me extremely uncomfortable, etc. So that's not, so then you know, but it's just a simen. There's no rules in bitachon. A person could not have bitachon, and a person could go, again, that's why he will devote a chapter to how do you know that, how can you tell? Right, what's that thing? Where's what's that game toy? Where's Waldo? Yeah. So he devotes a chapter to where's the Baal Bitachon. You have a group of people. How do you know who's the Baal Bitachon? And he devotes a chapter to saying, and I always say, like, what's his point in that chapter? What's his point? So his point is to look in the mirror and say, you know, and go through the list and say the Baal Bitachon doesn't get upset. Uh-oh, strike one. The Baal Bitachon doesn't get nervous. Strike two. So that's the purpose. So, what, yeah.
What if you do hishtadlus in investing, say, in stocks and shares?
Yeah.
And you think that you can be funded like that. You could do hishtadlus in going to a store and selling swarim.
Well, that he answered in Perek Gimel, how you choose what to do. You choose what you're good at, what's good.
The question is that sometimes I have a conscience that, like, I don't want to go into my personal life, but I have a certain investment. And I sometimes think, is Hashem happy with my investment? You know, that
well, he has to read the stock report first. That's a that we have to discuss one-on-one. That's not, if you want to make it time, we'll talk about it. Now, well, I'm not a Navi, I don't admit to being a Navi, but you know, we'll discuss it, we'll apply the rules of the Chayvus Halvavus, and we'll see how it applies.
The person invented money and has nothing to worry him. And he has a restaurant and he charges very little money. He makes a profit. Maybe you think he's going to get a lot of bracha because he's game according to Avram Avinu. And another person, he invests his money, maybe something on the internet or where Forex, foreign exchange or stocks and shares. He thinks maybe that's the
It's very hard to make specific rules for different things. The Chavis HaLavus recognizes that problem. And he therefore gives us the guidelines to pick something you're good at, something you enjoy doing, and something that's constructive, that's adding to Tikkun Olam, as it's called nowadays. That's what he says. And then do it, and Hashem will send you Parnassah that way. And then he gives us the rules in Perek Dalet, that doing more than what you need to do in order to earn basic parnasa is a waste of time and effort. And don't do it unless, again, we went through the cases, unless you can't close the store at 1:30 every afternoon. Or no one's going to hire you if you say you only want to work 4 hours, and so on and so forth. Or you have a responsibility. Or if you have a restaurant that's sort of, you know, sort of achnosas orchim dik, so then, as I said, by about a doctor, you know, you want to make yourself available, you're doing something so constructive to the world, such tikkun, that you almost have a response, you know, you're not doing it because you're going to earn more money, you're doing it because you want to keep providing this service. And that's how Hashem is making you wealthy. You know, that's the channel which he's using. But to answer a specific question, what's a better hishtadlus to do, needs a one-on-one session, really. So anyway, but here his point is, if you're not making enough money, don't panic. Baal B'tochen doesn't panic. If you're making just enough, the Baal B'tochen doesn't get upset and doesn't get resentful. And the third thing was, if you have a boss or a job that you don't especially enjoy, or you don't enjoy at all, Yoma Belibo, but you're earning parnasa. So again, he's telling you the Baal B'tochen's attitude. Obviously, if it's causing you terrible angst and you get migraine headaches at the thought of going into work every day and you can barely drag yourself out of bed, so you know, he doesn't mean to torture yourself. Mm-hmm. He's looking, I assume, you know, if you'd rather, you know, you wish it was something else. So you, how do you, the Baal B'tochen can deal with things by saying, this is what Hashem wants me to do. Maybe Hashem wants me to learn patience. Maybe Hashem wants me to be misakin my midos and not to take everything to heart that's said to me. Maybe Hashem wants me to, you know, overcome my chaos, learn savlonus. The realization that it's sent by Hashem, if we have that sincerely, it works wonders in most of our issues. That's really his main point overall, is that the Baal B'tochen is very, very keenly aware, because in order to have B'tochen, it's necessary to be keenly aware that Hashem is directing my life and Hashem is making happen whatever I'm going through. Asher Yitzarani al Tzura, the Tavnis, Hashem said how tall I would be, how I would look. Utchuna and my Tchunos HaNefesh, Umida, Meblishar Tzuros, to the exclusion of other Tzuros, Tchunos Amidos, Sakonos and Yani. Hashem decided how tall I would be. Hashem decided how healthy I would be. Hashem decided, you know, how handsome I'll be. Hu bochar li, so he's deciding how I should get my parnasa. Hu bochar li sheyavor tirfi al haponim hamafikim le'inyanai mibli she'or haponim. He's deciding that this should be the way I'm earning parnasa. Now you settle in on something, you're earning parnasa, don't give it up so fast. Even if it's hard, you're always considering that Hashem wants you to undergo this experience and it's for your good. Obviously, again, I say obviously, but it's very hard to know when that point is reached. When you reach a point, then, you know, again, one way to know that the point has been reached is if you're dysfunctional at home. If you come home and you scream at your husband, you scream at your kids, and you're just a nervous wreck, and you just, you know, or you find yourself maybe leaving early when you're not allowed to because you can't stand being there, that's a red flag, and then it's time to look for a different job. But sure, and Hashem maybe wants you to have the experience of looking for a different job. So we don't know what Hashem has in mind. All the questions that you have, all right, most, I, I have 90% of the questions you have, you can answer yourselves if you just check if you're having bitachon. Go through the things. Do I believe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? Okay, I do. I really do. So what's my problem? Oh, I don't have a problem. Baruch Hashem. Or you say, my problem is that even though I believe all seven things, but this doesn't make sense. And it just doesn't make sense. And I'm being tortured. And like, why? And I could get something else that will earn me the same money, l'chora, and I won't have to be tortured. It's like, why wouldn't I do that? That's true about every Chavis Halvavos, and that's why he wrote that perek. You know, how can you tell? So how can you tell if you're not panicky? You think, I better get another job or else, and you're not resentful of someone else that has a better job. If you meet all these things, then you could maybe be sure. You have to have the koach of introspection. We've said that a few hundred times, and you have to look into your own heart and minds and souls. But I think the answer is not for a posek to really answer you. Maybe if you go to someone, they could review with you what the Chavis Halevavos has to say about it. But the answer lies within yourself, because it's a Chavis Halevavos. And there's no rules. We don't know what Hashem has in mind for us. They're very nice. He says, you know, your boss was picked by Hashem for you. He says, your parents, it's not an accident of birth. Hashem decided whom to entrust this neshama to, which two people would bring up this neshama, because Hashem had a game plan, and everybody grows up with different midos and different chunos hanefesh and different attitudes and different thoughts and different ways of looking at things, and they are shaped and formed by parents to a very, very large degree. Sometimes it's shaped by rebellion against parents. That's also part of Hashem's plan. And so Hashem picked your parents. You say, oh, I can't pick my parents, but I can pick my boss. So Chazal are saying, it's not necessarily true. Hashem picked your parents, and it's quite likely that Hashem picked your boss. I always say quite likely, because there's always that corner where you should change jobs, where you shouldn't stay in this job. But it's quite likely Hashem picked your boss, just like he picked your parents. And he picked which century you would be born in, and he picked which... Everything is b'hashgacha, for your neshama. You're sent down to this world to be mesaken your neshama, to undergo life in this world, to undergo the nisyonos of life, to undergo what we see every day. Life is tough. Life is tough. Life has many, many bumps in the road. And everything is, it's like, really, it's mind-boggling. Every person's life is tailor-made for that neshama. So your parents, and when you were born, and where you were born, and everything. He says, Hashem picked your boss to who bochar li bo tirfi be'eretz yedua while yedei ish yedua, a boss, a land, some osa siba le tirfi le tovli, and I know it's for my benefit. Again, it sounds in the Chavis Halevavos that you should never switch jobs and you should never quit, but again I try to give certain guidelines where you say, this is ridiculous, and you never know. Sometimes people ask me, should they pursue... We spoke about this many times. Someone damaged me, should I pursue getting reimbursed? Or should I just say, I'm supposed to have the money, if not, not. I say, look, if the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch provided that you should be reimbursed, so go after it. You know, there's nothing wrong. It shouldn't be a lack of bitachon. It shouldn't be... It might be. I don't know, I can't read your minds. It might be reflective of a lack of bitachon. But the very fact that you're doing it is not necessarily reflective of that, because the Torah provides for it. So you go do it. And you never know, did Hashem want me to lose the money? Or did Hashem want me to have the Agmas Nefesh? Or did Hashem want me just to spend the money that it cost to take him to Beis Din or whatever? So we don't know like what the bottom line is. But the point is, he doesn't mean to say you should never switch jobs. He means to say your attitude should cover these situations. And he gave us three examples. three situations. One is I'm not making ends meet, one is I'm barely making ends meet, and one is I'm okay with the amount of money coming in, but I hate my job, hate my boss, hate, how come everybody's raising their hand? I hate my job, I hate my boss, and I hate what I do, and I can't stand it. Right? See, he's teaching the Baal Bitachon's attitude, which is his purpose in this perek. How does the Baal Bitachon think about this, think about that? Actually, I think they should have made a paragraph, because when he started talking about not making ends meet, and he gave these three scenarios, which I just said over now, this really belongs to number one and two on the list. This shouldn't be part of number two. This is something that is for number one and two. We move on to number three. Number three is interpersonal relationships. You say, what does Hashem have to do with interpersonal relationships? A lot. And anyway, he's talking about my attitude. He's talking about how do I deal with Heyman Yonei Ishto, how do I deal with my wife? Or if a woman's learning Chavis Halvavis, how do I deal with my husband? Ubanov, children. Ubanei Beso, other people in your household. Ukrovov, relatives. Oava, friends. Oivov, dislike. You click dislike on Facebook. Umiyudov, I don't know what Facebook is, I just, it's a word. Umiyudov, and I'm not on it, I have no shaykhs to it, but my son is, I mean, oh, he's married already, he won't stare a shidduch. Maybe he'll stare a shidduch to his sister, I don't know. Umiyudov is acquaintances, umakirov, people he casually knows, vasher lamalo mimenu, someone who, in the pecking order of some hierarchy, maybe employer, employee, or maybe rav and congregant, or anything, you know, you're looked up to, you're above that person, there's always a hierarchy in any, most of the time in relationships there are hierarchies, and so how do you, this is all, they just gave a complete list, probably complete, of interpersonal relationships. What does that have to do with bitachon? How do you infuse bitachon into your interpersonal relationships? That's number three. Ofane yosher habitachon al ha'elokim bohem, like where, what, like what's bitachon? Kesher ha'saper, I'll tell you. For who? So he starts off with a very interesting categorization. We know already, Chacham Lovitz loves to make lists. Our alternate name for the Sefer is the Book of Lists. So he starts off, he categorizes two people going through life. One, this is like extreme. He starts off with two extremes. He's going to deal with everything that he just said. Friends, enemies, acquaintances, employers, employees, parents, everything. But he starts off with two broad categories. People who are lonely, and they don't have family, or they don't have friends, whether by choice or by circumstance. Well, I guess not by choice, because he's going to tell the person how to deal with it. But they're basically, their lives turned out that they're, maybe because of their personality. So they don't have friends, they're basically alone. Maybe they're married, you know. People can be married and be alone also, unfortunately. That's unfortunate. But someone finds himself alone. Or someone is so busy that they don't have time to breathe. Friends and neighbors, and they're always bombarded, and they're always dealing with their relationships. They're, you know, busy, busy, busy. Social butterflies. So he says the two extremes. So the first thing he does in number three is teach us what the attitude of each person should be. And basically it boils down to the same thing we've talked about in today's shiur most of the time. It boils down to Hashem put me here. And I'm relying on Hashem that this is good for me, and I'm relying on Hashem that I will be able to grow in my avodas Hashem in whatever circumstance he puts me in. And and he'll say, like, because you have to overcome this, and you have to, and step one is always to relax, because that's the definition of bitachon in Perek Aleph. That's really, it's so important. If you're stressed, you're not having bitachon. That I can tell you without any fancy philosophical, deep, psychological, introspective analysis. If you're stressed, you're not having bitachon. Because that's the basic definition he gave in Perek Aleph. So he says, for who sheina dom limlat meyachal mishnei dvarim. The circumstances of life always has you in one of two categories. That's a funny way of putting it, because it's really a spectrum or a continuum, whatever the right word is. I apologize, because he gives you the two extremes. Sheyia nochri, you're alone. Oh, sheyia betoch mishpachto ukrovov. So you're surrounded by family, like my house in the afternoons. So my wife is surrounded, but I go into the room and close the door. If I'm home, Baruch Hashem, I'm not home. But you could have in the same apartment, you could have one person surrounded by friends and family, and one person's alone. V'miya nachri, if you're alone, he says so many things here. Like every sentence is a diamond and is worthy of elaboration. First of all, he says, number one, you're not alone. You're not alone. Or maybe you're alone, but you should never be lonely. Alone shouldn't mean lonely. Because Hashem, again, we don't think of Hashem as a reality. We think of him as like a lulav. Or a siddur, or a chumash, or a sefer Torah. It's like, it's a religion. Hashem is your friend, and Hashem is around, and you're never alone. You'll never walk alone. I think that's a song. I shouldn't know it. Chas v'shalom. I don't know it. That came out of my mouth. I don't know. I think it's a religious song. I think it's a Christian song, maybe. Chas v'shalom. You'll never walk alone. No, it's a Jewish song. Anyway, his first point is, you're not alone. That's number one. Number one is, you're not alone. You're with Hashem. Tzevis. Tzevis means friendship. Yid tzavoso. Tzivuso. Belokov. With Hashem, can talk to him. You can rely on him. He's your friend. You could share with him. So even though you're feeling desolate, you're feeling I don't have a friend in the world, and you're depressed. He says no. The yiftach olav the geruso. You can develop your bitachon. You have more of an opportunity to develop your reliance on Hashem because you don't have anyone else to rely on. You have no one else there. There's no one. You have less of an nisayon, and you can really develop your bitachon. So number one is, you're not really alone. Number two, he says something very deep. Everybody's alone. Because when it boils down to it, it's who you are and what you are, and all the friends in the world, and all the relatives in the world, and all your relationships are only how you deal with them to shape you as a person. But ultimately, everyone's alone. No one can do mitzvahs for me. No one can shape who I am. Only I can determine who I am. So everyone's alone, and he says two ways to realize that. So first of all, you're not alone. You're with Hashem. Second of all, everyone's alone. Either the Yala Alib or Geirus HaNefesh Ba'olam HaZeh. Everyone's neshama certainly alone. Think how the neshama feels. Thrown into this world, it's worse than moving to Eretz Yisrael. The neshama. The neshama doesn't recognize the language. It doesn't have nefesh b'nefesh to help it. Maybe it should. The soul is thrown into a world of gashmius, where the body is trapped in a body. The body is doing all sorts of crazy things that the neshama, like, get me out of here. I want to go back home. Like Lassie. Right? I want to go back home. The neshama is the biggest. You think you're alone? Think neshama. Everybody's neshama is alone. LMI, it's doing its task and it has a relationship with Hashem. So first of all, you're not alone. Second of all, everybody's alone. Either from the perspective of their neshama, your neshama is a foreigner in a foreign, strange land where people are talking a strange language and have strange values and have crazy goals and ridiculous goals and ridiculous ideas of what's called accomplishment. And then he says, "V'chiyan sheha'oretz k'mo geirim heim." and everybody's ultimately alone. So I said before, everybody's alone. No one. All my friends and my social life, like at the end of the day, it's what did I do with that? So Hashem gave other people have to develop their relationships in a way that makes them better people, and you're alone, and you have a different way of working on making yourself a better person. Shomer HaKosov, an amazing interpretation of this pasuk. Kigayim v'soshovim atem imodi. It's talking about the pasuk, and it's in Vayikra, and it says, you know, you're all gayim in this world. And okay, and one more point he's going to make is that is when they lower you down into the ground, you're alone. No one's coming with you. All your friends are not going to be there to help you, to protect you, right? You're alone. So first of all, you're not alone. Second of all, your neshama, there's no one more foreign. When you feel bad for yourself because you moved to Eretz Yisrael, just think how the neshama feels being in Olam Hazeh. Third of all, everybody is really alone because all the nature of a human being is, what am I? What did I do with myself? How did I shape myself, form myself? So I use the relationships, but ultimately it boils down to me being alone. And number four is, you know, when it's all over, we're certainly all alone. Yeah.